is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, dear friends. Great to be with you again as we continue our series, No Zion Without a King, No King But Jesus. You know, several times I've talked to Jewish friends. I call them friends. They probably don't think I'm a friend, but I've talked with them, and I have found that they have a totally different idea than I do because they do not know the New Testament. They do not know of the New Covenant. And they're very confused. I remember I was on a talk show in Houston, and the talk show host was a Jewish man, and he seemed friendly enough, but we took a break. They had to go off to commercials, and he began to talk to me and said, "You know, Mr. Mars, you and I are not so far off in our views." I said, "Really?" He says, "Right, because we both believe in the Messiah." And I listened to what he had to say. He said, "It's just that you believe the Messiah has already come, and as a Jew, I'm still looking for him to come. We both believe in the Messiah. See how much we have in common?" Well, I waited till the next break, you know, because about that time the music came on and we had to go, and we chatted for about 20 more minutes, and then we took another 2 minutes for commercial break. And I said, "Dear friend, what you were talking about before on the last break, you mentioned that we both believed in the Messiah, except that I believed he had already come and you were still looking for him, and you thought we had a lot in common because of that. Well, I want you to understand something. I believe in the Messiah to coming is coming again too. I'm also looking for him. But here is the difference, the great difference, a difference between life and death, between you and me. That involves life and death," I said. "My Messiah is coming back, and when he comes back, those who have accepted him will be part of his new Jerusalem and will live forever joyfully in heaven with our Lord. But those who said, 'I reject this Jesus, I will seek another Messiah,' will receive the wrath of Almighty God and live eternity in hell. You have rejected Jesus," I told him. "And you will see another Messiah come, a false Messiah, the Antichrist, and you will believe in him. And you will be damned. And I beg and encourage you, I encourage you and I beg you," I told him, "to accept the true Messiah, Jesus." And he looked at me in disbelief. After the program was over, we had more time to talk. And he said, "I want you to know I'm insulted by what you said." I said, "Well, why were you insulted?" He said, "Because I was trying to be friendly to you and say we both believe in the same Messiah." And I said, but I am your friend. And we had a wonderful time on this program. We were talking about things that really were in common. But in terms of the Messiah, we have nothing in common. Because I believe in a Messiah whose name the Bible says is Jesus, the name above all names. You do not even know the name of your Messiah, but the Bible says, Jesus says, 'I came to the Jews and the Jews received me not,' but someday they will believe in another who will come in another name." And he looked at me and said, "Well, I will never believe in Jesus." I said, "Well, that makes the difference. But I pray that you will," I told him. "I'm going to be praying that you'll change your mind." He said, No. "I'm waiting for a Messiah." You're right. We do have a difference. I am waiting for a Messiah, that has another name than Jesus? And I says, then him you will receive. He said, yes, I will receive him. I said, well, how are you going to know for sure that he's the Messiah? He says, when the rabbis tell me, I will know. Friends, it makes all the difference in the world, the name of your king. You know, there is a prince of devils. His name is Lucifer. He has other names too, the devil, etc. And there, he literally will be the prince of this world. He will send also an antichrist to come, who may call himself king of earth for a short while. He may say, Zion has arrived. We can make this into a great and holy planet. I am here to warn you of that coming one. The one who says, my name is not Jesus, but I am your king, your Messiah. We have a little motto here at Bible Home Church. No Zion. There can be no Zion without a king. And there is no king but King Jesus. I am told that during the American Revolution in the late 1700s, the preachers were among the leaders. The preachers were among the leaders. They roused up the people of America to fight the British. The preachers of America were the standard bearers. We do not see that today. Today, they are the traitors and the betrayers of the faith of Jesus Christ. And they are the saboteurs against our own country by not insisting that there is only one king and his name is Jesus. But during those days of the Revolutionary War, you know that we fought King George, the monarch of Britain. And I understand that one of the rallying cries of the Americans who fought the British was this. No king, they cried out, but Jesus. Do you get the impact? No king, but Jesus. Well, we're discussing that very fact, this series. No king, but Jesus. Now, we're going to have some music before we begin our message. Wonderful song. In fact, it's probably one of my favorites. I mean, it's I love some of the very slow, sorrowful songs that really make you think of the blood of Jesus and the cross. And then sometimes I just like the happy tunes. This is a happy tune. This is going to be a song, and I'm going to hold it off for just a minute, but it's a song about a man who's just started living. Now, I don't know how old he was when he sang this song or when he wrote this song, I should say. But let's say he was 30, 35 years old. But he didn't start living till he met Jesus. And then he wrote this song. And let me tell you, he's one happy fella. I just started living. I like that song. I love that song. But first, you can write to us. If you'd like to help out this ministry, we'd appreciate your contributions, your tithes, your support. We are a church, of course, and I cannot promise you financial rewards here on earth for giving, but I know you're going to receive treasures in heaven. I don't know what they're going to be. And you know what? You might just receive treasures here on earth too. It's possible. And the greatest treasures of all are a joy in the heart and loved ones coming to know the Lord and good health and all those things. That's worth more than money. I don't know. God may give you money too, but that's up to him. I'm not going to guarantee it. I don't guarantee money. In fact, it's a mistake to even think of money when you're giving to a church. Don't think about how much you can make from this deal. This is not a deal. It's simply a way to honor God. That's what the offering really is. A way to honor God through his ministry. Don't think about what you're going to get in return, okay? But I do know this, God is faithful, and he'll take care of you. He always has when you trust in him. Hey, you might want to write to us, and you don't have any money to send us. You know what? You might want something yourself. You might want prayer. We'll be delighted to pray for you. Let us know your needs and we'll be glad to pray. Write and say, Brother Tex Mars, I need prayer. And let me know what your need is. We'll pray for you. Now, we have this song now. It's by the Cathedrals, a great, great group. The group is not touring around the United States anymore, but their music lives on, and I think it will for eternity, or as long as God wants it to. Here is I Just Started Living by the Cathedrals.
In this world below, I'd be covered with trouble. There'd be no place to go. But when I met Jesus and started believing, I got filled with His love, cleansed by His blood. I've just started living.
I've just started. I found me a brand new life.
It changed my direction.
And I believe this is the same kind of language when people talk of the Germans or the Iraqis, the Saudi Arabians, the Americans, the Canadians. They are simply using, in a sense, the whole nation in common. That doesn't mean if we said that the Iraqis are an Islamic nation. In fact, I understand there are 1 million Iraqis who are Christians. 1 million. Something the media never tells us about. But any time we talk about one entire group of people, we stereotype if we put all of them in the same boat or claim that they all have the same characteristics. They often do not. I remember when I was stationed in Italy, up in northern Italy, a young airman would come in and be shocked to find that many of the Italians had blue eyes and blonde hair. They had seen on TV, you know, the Sophia Lorens and such, and thought they all Italians had dark complexions.
dark olive skin. But in fact, throughout the centuries, many of the northern Italians intermarried with the Germans and the Austrians and such, and many of them were whiter than the American Anglos coming over there. You see, we often have a misconception of people. I do not at all put everybody in the same basket. Please understand that. I get a lot of letters from Jews, and I appreciate them. Just got a letter recently from Ann Kahn, that's spelled K-A-H-N. And she wanted me to know about a book she's sending to me called What the Rabbis Know About the Messiah. Anne is a friend of this ministry. She was adopted, interestingly, by a Jewish family at 5 months of age, grew up in the Jewish community and remains active in it today. And she's now today a Messianic Jew. She's a Christian Jew. But she laments the fact, and I do too, that her Jewish father could never see the truth of Jesus Christ, and that's very sad. But because her father was Jewish and refused to become a Christian, Anne says that she was deeply exposed to both faiths, Judaism and Christianity, all her life. But she is a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm so delighted she's a Christian sister. Listen to what she says. She says, Tex, I want you to know that many of my Christian Jewish friends have delivered your audio tapes, videotapes, et cetera, to Israel. And your materials are being used mightily among the believing Jewish community in Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, that really, just really, really tickles me no end. I'm just delighted for this. And she has some other things she wanted to tell me. And she, you know, encourages me to keep up my work, because she believes very strongly. She ends up by saying about the entire staff of Power of Prophecy, she says, what a source of light you have all been to those who are willing to listen, to those who have ears to hear. She signs off on her letter, your sister in Yeshua, Ann Kahn. By the way, she's head of her own ministry. It's called Have Ye Not Heard Ministry. She says, Tex, if I can be of any assistance into your future research about Jews, Israel, the Temple Mount, and so forth, please don't hesitate to contact me. I have frequent social contact with leading rabbinic families of the Jews. Appreciate that. Had a letter here from Mike Phillips, a good Christian brother. He said, just a note to tell you how much I and so many of my friends appreciate your ministry. I've really enjoyed and benefited from all of your books over the years. Concerning your latest study on Jerusalem, you're one of the few people who have come out with the truth about Israel and about the city of Jerusalem. Well, thank you very much, Brother Mike Phillips and Sister Ann Kahn. Friends, we have many Jewish folks who are on our mailing list here. And I want you to understand something. It's not a matter of race. I don't know how many times I have to say that. We have never, ever, ever here criticized people because of their race. I don't believe that Jesus was down on the Jews either. He chose his disciples from among the Jews. And he was born, you know, and from that lineage on the Jewish side. So it's a silly thing to talk about race, and I don't. And that's why I get a big kick when people say, oh, you must be a white supremacist. You must be anti-Semitic. You're probably a neo-Nazi militia type. You know, that's pretty old hat, isn't it? I was reading the other day that an article in the New York Times accused Rush Limbaugh of being a right-wing hater. Well, you know, they're going to say, you know, Rush Limbaugh's, I don't even think he's a Christian, but certainly he is a conservative. And he may be a right wing, but I don't think he's a hater. But this is the kind of language that is used against you when you tell the truth. I remember somebody wrote me, we offered a book by a man named Jonathan Sack called An Eye for an Eye. Boy, I got a hot phone call from a Jewish man. He said, how dare you offer that book by that Jew hater? Jonathan Sack. It's apparent he hates Jews. I said, well, sir, Jonathan Sack is a Jew. He's an Orthodox Jew. He said, what? I said, yes, he's an Orthodox Jew. He said, really? I said, yes. Well, why is he saying things like that? I said, because they're true. Because they're true. He said, well, but he shouldn't say it anyway. But what's wrong with talking about the truth? Well, it may people, make people think bad things of Jews. Well, friends, I told him, I've said bad things about Bill Clinton and many Americans. That probably makes a lot of people think bad things about Americans. But truth is truth. And Jesus said of many of the Jews of his day, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Truth is truth after all. But he didn't tell Peter and James and John that. He didn't say, you're of your father, the devil. In fact, Jesus spoke to his Father in heaven. And he said, of those you have given me, I have lost none. And who had the Father given him? Well, we know he gave him Peter and James and John and Andrew. And Jesus even said, you know, you are my friend, he told them, his disciples. I believe Jesus tells people that today. They may have one time been a Jew or a Gentile, but once they're born again, they're simply members, as Peter called it, of a holy nation. There is only one nation of God. It's not, you know, anywhere on this earth, by the way. The kingdom is in heaven, and it is within your heart if you have Jesus Christ. Now, I was reading something, and I'm going to lead to something here. I am absolutely mortified. I am on one count angry. Yes, I am angry over what I read in a recent newsletter. And at the same time, I'm heartbroken. It's a newsletter called The Berean Call, put out by Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. Dave Hunt's done some good things. And I know he's not a big believer in King James Bible. I mean, he says it, you know, he uses other Bibles and such. But what he says in his most recent newsletter, I just cannot fathom. A reader of his newsletter asked Mr. Hunt and Mr. McMahon about Jesus. And this question had to do with this. Isn't it true that Jesus' throne is in heaven? Isn't it true that believers of Jesus Christ are born into the kingdom? I would have thought that Mr. Hunt and Mr. McMahon would have said, yes, of course. Jesus sits at the right hand of God on the throne. But instead, he actually said this. Listen, he said, Jesus does not rule over his bride as king. Jesus is not our king. And then they went on to say, in heaven, Jesus is the groom in the church, his bride. But he does not rule over his bride as king. And then he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is not here on earth. I beg to differ. Let me tell you what the Bible says, my friends. It says that when you are born again into Jesus Christ, if you're of Christ, then you're of his kingdom. Jesus said his kingdom does not come by observation. But he said the kingdom is among you. When Jesus stood there, he let them know he was the very kingdom of God. I do not at all admire people and the Judaizers like Mr. Hunt and Lindsay and all of them. They have to do this to remain consistent with their false doctrine. Because these poor people actually believe that Jesus doesn't have a kingdom. Do you remember when Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, he said, you've been accused of claiming you're king of the Jews. Are you king of the Jews? Jesus says, thou sayest. That means in Jewish idiom, it's as you say. Of course he's king of the Jews, and he's king of the Gentiles. He is king of kings, lord of lords. He sits on the throne, my friends. He's not just groom over his bride. God, Jesus has never been demoted.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.